So the title is Living a Fruitful and Productive Life. Does everybody want to live a fruitful and productive life? Okay, a life verse that I share absolutely all the time is 2 Corinthians 5:10. One Bible verse, of course a lot of Bible verses, but this Bible verse has shaped my life just about as much as any Bible verse in the scriptures. And it says, one day we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and we're going to give account of our lives. That one verse has affected how I've lived my Christian life for the last 46 years. Because when I stand before God, when that day comes, I want him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So that's a good verse, amen? So we want to live a productive life. Point number two, we're going to look at two parables. We're going to look in John 15, the parable of the vine and the branches. And then we're going to look at one other parable, and that's the parable of the talents. You've probably all heard both of these parables at least 30, 40, 50 times preached throughout your Christianity, throughout your life. But there's points in these two parables that are a warning to every single one of us. Can you imagine when it reads in John 15 and Matthew 25, if you don't bear fruit, it says what? Throw them out. Another one says where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. I mean, I don't know the exact fulfillment of who he's speaking to there, but I do not want to be one of those branches that he takes out, throws out, and it withers, and it dies, and is burnt up, and whatever goes with that. You guys still love me? If once in a while I preach something that's a little bit harder, because we need something that's harder. Before the Lord comes back, he's going to send Elijah the prophet. And what that means, he's going to send somebody that has a prophetic anointing that's not just willing to tickle people's ears. He's going to preach to congregations exactly what they need to hear so they can become everything that God created them to be. And all God's people said? So we're going to look at those two parables. And then point number three of pretty much every sermon is how we can personally apply this. All right, so let's start on point number one. What does God say about it? In Genesis 1, when he created man, what did he say? He said, be fruitful and multiply. He said, subdue. He said, conquer. He said, to rule. So he gave man a commission and a job to do. Be fruitful. Multiply. All right? Subdue the earth. Conquer the earth. We want to live a fruitful and a productive life. In your marriage, you want your kids to turn out to be okay. Amen? You want them to actually to be better than you, amen? You want to invest your life in your kids so someday they're going to do a good job and invest their life in their grandkids, and then you get good grandkids, amen? And doesn't that sound good, living a productive life and then passing it on and seeing good things happen? So John 15, all right, Jesus said, I appointed you to go and bear fruit. So in John 15, when we get there, it was actually a command. This was not a suggestion. This was a command that you would go and bear fruit. It would prove that actually you're a Christian and you're my disciples by the fruit that you bear in your life. So let me start with a story. You have to forgive the pastor for looking at Facebook this morning before church. All right, I think it was this morning. But our sons, good friends, his name is Jacob, all right? Someday, hopefully, I'll get him to come to church and share his testimony. His dad pastored a church right across the street from us in Siren, Wisconsin, all right? If Jake comes, be nice to him. He's an amazing Christian young man, but he always wasn't this way. He had trouble with drugs, I don't know, let's throw it out there, for 5 or 10 years, okay? My son was a friend of his. We was on the golf team together. My son did not do drugs together with him, but that kid would come and stay at our house different times, and the dad was so thankful he would come to us, and he said, at least I know when he's staying at your house that he's in good hands. Okay? So we love the kid. He's an amazing kid. This last week, he spent at least a week down in Juarez, Mexico. He does construction for a living. He's building houses and homes for those that can't build a house and home for themselves. And someday I want to go with that kid. I don't know how to do construction, but I can be a gopher and help him with that. Amen? So I want to invest my life in somebody that then is going to invest their life in somebody else. So here's a young kid. He's 25 years old. Did drugs for at least 5 to 10 years and was not a good pastor's kid. All right? Whatever. Do you know why pastor's kids misbehave? Did you know it? Because once in a while they hang around with the deacon's kids. Do you guys know that? I'm sorry. All right? All right? You know, we're all just trying to do this life together. It's not good. You know what? If you're a pastor's kid, you know what? The devil has an extra target on the pastor kid. Amen? So, anyway, just an amazing story. When I read it all this morning, I don't know if you can type in his name, Jake Swenson. I don't know if his Facebook thing is public or not. But then you can look at all 35 pictures of the different homes they built for people in Juarez, Mexico. People that don't have the money to build their homes for themselves, but they go down there and make these homes. Pretty cool, isn't it? I want my life to make a difference. That's why we're here. You know, I enjoy life. I like nice parsonage, nice house, nice car, whatever, all the different things you have. Those things are all fine and dandy. But what really matters in life is what kind of difference am I making in somebody else's life? That's one of the reasons why I signed up to be a pastor. Okay? Sometimes it's not, I don't like maybe, and you guys are good, dealing with the games that people play in church. Would you guys help me out? Let's just not play the silly, stupid games that people play in church sometimes. And all God's people said, that was a little bit quiet, but anyway, all right? You guys with me this morning? All right. So I want to live a fruitful life. I don't want to waste my life. I want my life to make a difference. Joshua 1:8. If I keep God's word coming out of my mouth, if I meditate in God's word day and night, and I do it, what did God say would happen? Then I would make my way prosperous and have good success. Does anybody want to have success in life? Everybody wants to have a good life, right? Okay, so he's given us principles, and actually the Bible tells us what is a good life. Do you remember that story I shared a couple weeks ago about the 59-year-old and 51-year-old that retired early? Do you guys remember? Come on. Hello? All right? No, you don't. I get to share it again. All right. So nothing wrong with retiring early. Praise God for that, amen, because you have an extra time actually to bless and help people. So this couple, though, they retired. And I think they were in Punta Gorda, did I say it right, in Florida, okay? Had a nice yacht, a nice boat, had a nice seashell collection. He actually stayed in shape, so he was able to play softball for quite a few years. And nice house, all these things. Nothing wrong with any one of those things. But they died and then stood before God, and so they must have been Christians, all right? Thank God for that. But when you stand before God and he says, man, how did you like my boat, God? Pretty nice one, wasn't it? He said, oh, no, I can do better than that. I'm sorry. All right. Or, you know, how about this seashell collection? God, hey, man, we did pretty good. We spent some time and effort. Nothing wrong with seashell collections. But when I stand before God, he's not, especially now, he's not worried about my softball swing, amen? He's worried about what I did that affected all of eternity. And so that's the kind of thing that I want in my mind, because I want to live a fruitful and productive life, and I want to make a difference in people's lives, and I believe you're the same way. I believe that everybody has that on the inside of them, that you were born to add value to people's life and make a difference. You've done it with your kids, haven't you? Now you get to do it with your grandkids, and then you get to do it with all the people around you. You want to bless people and make a difference in their lives. Hallelujah. I want to invest my time, my talents, my treasure, and my testimony for the kingdom of God. Okay? The average person influences 10,000 people in a lifetime. Okay? Now, you know all my quirks, or a lot of my quirks already. I've been here long enough. But trust me, I'm going to influence way, way, way more than 10,000 people in my life. Why? Because I'm not shy and I'm not quiet and I like to be around people. I like to be going all the time. So I have an opportunity to influence people. So if you influence 10,000 people in your lifetime, wouldn't you want to influence them for Jesus? Wouldn't you want to influence them to become better citizens and better people? And that's what we want to do. That's part of the reason why I'm here today, is I want to stir you on to influence. How many are willing for the next 6 weeks to enter into special prayer for Pastor Andy? All right? We're going to blame this on Dave right over here. He sent me an email and signed me. He didn't sign me up. I signed up. Thank God, Dave, that you sent that. Can you imagine Pastor Andy signing up, and you're going to have to hear about this for the next 6 weeks, and you'll forgive me, amen, right? To coach 13 seventh grade girls. TJ, you want to switch? I'll take the fifth grade boys. He says no, all right? He's also coaching varsity. He went 2-1 yesterday in a tournament, so maybe you need to come to one of my practices and help us. Why am I saying all this? I love coaching. I love basketball. I love kids. I love it. I get to know teachers, parents, all the different things. I'm sure there'll be hassles with the whole thing that come with it. But part of it, we want to influence people. We want to make a difference in people. Amen? All right. Our family's been around basketball our whole life, so I know just a couple things. I'm not the Division I coach. I'm not my brother. But you know what? I can make a difference in these 13 girls' lives. Amen? And that's what we want to do. All right, so let's look in our Bibles. They had it up on the screen, but let's start in John chapter 15. And we're going to look at two parables today. This is the parable of the vine, and you're very, very familiar with it. But Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. And every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Okay, I don't always interpret everything perfectly, but anyway... You and Jesus, you and the vine. Jesus the vine, you're the branches, and he wants you to bear fruit. He wants you to make a difference. He wants you to influence other people. Okay? So here it tells us how we can best do that. And it tells us you having a relationship with Jesus is what affects everything. This is not a social club. This is not a country club. Amen? We're not going to vote on whether in the next 2 weeks you're part of Assembly of God Church. You know what I'm talking about right now. We're going to vote Christian and Bible, and there's a denomination right now that's voting on whether sin is okay. Do you guys know what I'm talking about at all? Okay, it's been in the news the last couple weeks. Sometime I think they're voting soon, aren't they? Okay, why did I go there? Anyway, we're hooked up with Jesus, and whatever Jesus said, that's what we follow. All right, so the parable of the vine. We're hooked up with the vine. Verse 4, abide. The word abides means to remain and have a relationship. So have a relationship with Jesus. If you want a productive life, you have to have a relationship with Jesus. If you're a good person, most likely you're going to help people around you to be a good person. But when all's said and done and you die, being good doesn't get you in heaven. All the good works you do don't make up for the sins you did. Doesn't make up for the sin nature. You need a relationship with Jesus. You have to be born again. Amen? All right, so verse 5, I'm the vine, you're the branches, abide in Jesus, and you'll bear much fruit. He wants you to be productive. He actually, in your jobs, he likes you to make a lot of money. You guys still love me? Amen? He wants you to be blessed. He wants the blessing you work to your hands. He wants to cause everything you do to prosper. Now, he doesn't want money to be your God, but he wants you to be fruitful. He wants you to be productive. Amen? Do you mind if I get political for 10 seconds? That's why socialism and communism doesn't work. Because God created you to be fruitful and multiply, to bear fruit in every good work, so that God could bless the works of your hands, not your buddy's hands, to bless the works of your hands and cause whatever you do to prosper. So God wants everybody to live a fruitful and a productive life. That's why he created you. To love him and know him, make him known, but to live a fruitful and productive life. Verse 7, if I abide in Jesus, that one of the fruits that I'm going to get, he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, what are you going to do? You're going to ask what you will, and it's going to be done. Wouldn't we like to all improve in that area? So when Ben texts me whatever Sunday or whatever it was, and he has pretty serious or some health issues, wouldn't it be nice just to pray right there and then and all the symptoms just leave? Wouldn't that be awesome? That's a promise. This is not just for heaven. This is for right now. If you ask what you will, it'll be done for you. I want to get to that point where I get more of my prayers answered. And a part of abiding in Jesus is all a part of that. Verse 8, he wants you not just to bear fruit, but much fruit. And how do I know you're a Christian? The Bible says, I will know you're a Christian by your life and by your fruit. Matthew 5 says, let them see your good works. Let them be the light of the world. Be the salt of the earth. Amen. Jesus is, but he's in you. And let them see all the good things that you do and glorify God. So different times, if I don't know what the will of God is, just wake up in the morning and be a servant and go about doing good because that's what Jesus did. It says the Bible, Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. All right, so we want to bear much fruit. Verse 11, anybody ever want more joy in their life? More happiness? More fulfillment? More satisfaction? It comes by doing the will of God. Verse 11, these things I write to you, that my joy would be in you and your joy would be full. That's what God wants. Let's go to one more verse in this parable here. Verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Thank God that you chose us. Amen. He's not willing that anyone would perish. He wants everybody to be born again. God chose you, but what did he choose you? To go and bear fruit. He chose you to live a productive life. Amen? You know, probably Deb gets most of the credit for this, but our kid is already a productive kid. Okay? I probably tell you way too much. I like to brag on my kid, but he's 26 years old. Whatever. I don't know where he all flew off to this week, but he was just in Toronto a week before. But he's already a 26-year-old kid doing things, whatever, that, you know, being a productive kid. That's a good thing, amen? Okay, maybe I won't tell you the amount of sales that he did in November, but he really, really, really blessed his company as being a productive salesman that month, so his company is blessed. So I think his job is secure for a while. Okay, but we want to live not just on our finances and our job, but every area of our life. I want a productive marriage. I want a productive family. I want a productive church. I want a productive community. I want us to bear fruit and be productive. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew 25. You guys doing okay this morning? All right, one more parable. I must have spent a little bit of time on Facebook this week. No, actually, somebody messaged me this. Okay, so I was in 21 years in Siren. I've been involved with youth. The whole time I've been a senior pastor, I've been involved with our youth. So probably out of those 34 years, I've probably brought kids to youth conventions about 30 years. Been at camp during the summer. I couldn't even tell you how many years, at least 25, whatever, done a lot of that. But I want, why? Because I want to invest my life in other people, all right? Our two youth and worship pastors that we had for 10 years in Siren were both graduates from our youth group, from our church. They went off to Bible school. We hired them. They came back. One was for 5 years. Another one was for 5 years. They were our youth and worship pastors. You know kind of what you're getting because I was a part of those kids' lives for 15 to 20 years. I invest Jesus into them. And now, then they became ministers, and they're in the ministry. A kid, I just tell you so much, but this kid gave me trouble once in a while, all right? But when he sent me this Facebook messenger, he was not causing me trouble because he just this last year, he accepted a job in Washington, in the state of Washington. He's the youth pastor there. He sent me a video of just some fun things that they did as a ministry. Hi, Pastor Andy. I just capped off 2019 being my first year in ministry. Okay, so I think Adam is 25. I think he's a year younger than my son Luke. I wanted to share this with you. You've put a lot of time into me. Okay, I could tell you about our bad times too. They were not all sweet. Okay, but you have put a lot of time into me and has shaped how I do ministry. I want you to know that your time and effort didn't go to waste. Thank you. Okay, just one kid. Okay. Anyway, someday maybe we'll see Adam, and he'll share a couple stories. But isn't that neat? Okay? But when you're involved in life, it gets messy, too. And you're involved with youth or involved with anybody, we all have stories to tell about one another, right? Okay? I could tell you stories of Adam. He could probably tell you stories of me. But you know what? All we do is we love Jesus, and we serve Jesus. And here, that was pretty good. When I read stuff like that, it's like, man, I love doing ministry. Amen? I want to make a difference in people's lives. Matthew 25, we're not going to look at this one long. You're familiar with it. You have it memorized. But after a long time, the master of the servants came and settled accounts with them. You're going to have to settle accounts with Jesus someday. Every one of you is going to stand before God. Every one of you is going to give an account for your life. There's no way of getting around that. Okay? The Bible says there's a judgment coming, all right? If you're a believer, it's a whole lot better because you get to go to heaven for all eternity, amen? But when I stand before God, my life is going to be judged. Some of it's going to be wood, hay, and stubble. That's going to burn up. But I want it to be gold, silver, precious stones. I want some good fruit as well, amen? Okay? You guys need to raise your hand more to slow me down. All right. First one, got 5 talents, the second one got 2, the last one got 1. That tells us maybe we're not all given equal talents. We're not. But what the story tells you, with whatever God has given you, use it. Should I give you a little warning? When you stand before God, your judgment is going to be a whole lot more strict than somebody in some other country that never, hardly ever, ever, ever heard the gospel and heard about Jesus. Every one of you, because you heard this sermon, your judgment's going to be worse as well. Because now you heard that you're going to give an account for everything that God gave you. And he's going to ask you, what did you do with it? Did you invest it into your spouse and into your kids and into your family and into your friends and into your coworkers? Did you invest it in other people? First one, he got 5 more. He used it and got more. What did he say to him? Well done. Now he says, I will set you over much. Enter into what? Okay? You want more joy in your life? Serve more people. Anytime you get down, okay, this is not easy. I'm not, whatever, because we all have struggles. And some people have more struggles than other people in this area. But I found if I get involved in somebody else's life and I help somebody, that joy almost always immediately comes to me. Does that make sense? Because the Bible said it's more blessed to give than receive. The Bible says if I give, it's going to be given unto me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It's going to come back to me. So if I even, because it's easy to get focused on ourselves. It's easy to withdraw. It's easy to stay home. But when I get outside of myself and do something for somebody else, I just feel better. I'm not the only one, am I? When you serve, you just feel better. So the one that had 5, multiply. The one that had 2 did the same thing. Are you investing? Because you're going to get a return on your investment. Okay, we're hoping on Wednesday night. A lot of these kids don't go to our church. So when you look around on Sunday morning, I'm like, you know, where are all these kids you're talking about? Well, they're from different churches and different places. But you know what? Some of those kids someday are going to be in the ministry. Some of those 37 kids that were at our Christmas program a couple weeks are going to go into the ministry someday. I'm looking at you, Melanie, looking at you, Michaela, looking at you, Marisa, okay? And some little grandkids back there. We're counting on at least one of those 5 going into the ministry, and I'm willing to be a part of that. Amen? Are you with me? You invest and make a difference in somebody's life. So the one that had the 1 talent, why did he not invest and multiply the gifts and abilities and the treasure that he was given to him? What did he say about the master? Come on, talk to me here. Okay. 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 All right. Excellent. Okay. With the parables, I like to paraphrase every parable, but he was given a talent and he was given ability, and then he had a wrong, this is me, he had a wrong view of the master. He had a wrong view of God. He had a wrong view of life. Half of America, I'm sorry, I'm being bad right now, has a wrong view of life, thinking it's somebody else's responsibility to take care of them. The Bible does not teach that. Are you guys with me? Matthew 25 says whatever. I don't care if you get the 5, the 2, or the 1. Some people have been dealt a way better hand than others. You're not judged on that. You're judged on how you did with what was given you. Okay? So if you get the 1, be faithful to that. You stand before God, God's going to say, you know what? Well done. You took what I gave you and you multiplied it. Okay? This would be a good time that you have a little bit of money in your IRA and your retirement right now, because the last 4 years, if I understand it, and I don't look at it a whole lot, but investments, have they increased the last 4 years? Come on, you guys. When you invest, you expect a better return. If what you put in your IRA is the same as it was 4 years ago, I'd suggest you get it in some other place. Okay? But not only do I want an IRA so someday that I could retire, my wife's already said I'm working to 75, so that's a ways off, amen? I'm just kind of kidding. Not really. But you want to invest so that you can make a difference. Finances? I want finances so I don't have to work as hard as I do right now when I'm 75. I don't think I'll be able to do that. But I want to invest also in eternal things. Anything else we can learn from that story? Oh, let's read the last verse. What did they say about that one? Cast the worthless servant into outer darkness, in that place where there's weeping and gnashing teeth. I don't know the exact interpretation of that, but that doesn't sound like a very nice place, does it? Okay? I don't want that to happen to me. God gave me Christianity. God gave me the ability to get born again, and I decided not to use it for the kingdom of God. There it says, throw him into that place where there's weeping and gnashing teeth. I don't want that to happen to me, and I don't want it to happen to any of you. Okay, in John 15, what does it say? Yeah, let me find. Anyway, there's verses in there that weren't so nice either, right? Is it the same thing? If you don't do what God asks you to do, it's not good results. All right, there's the two parables. Let's go on to point number three. Point number three is going to be really short. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, so how can I personally apply this? Okay. I've already told you, personally apply, making a difference. Sign up for being a pastor. Sign up for being a dad. Sign up for being a parent. Sign up for being a coach. Sign up for, I just signed up for being rock wall training. Okay. Get to spend 11 hours at the school learning how safety-wise so people can use our rock wall. You know how life makes it a whole lot better? I just signed up John Church from church to do it with me. All right, so I got somebody else. He doesn't know that now he's in charge and I'll help him, whatever. But, you know, you just want to make a difference. Some way, somehow. All right. What are some more personal stories? Thank you, Lord. Won't go into detail. We're going to go into prayer in a minute. But how about we just always be ready to love on people? Wednesday afternoon, I got a phone call. Wasn't expecting that phone call. I guarantee you, Kelly was not expecting that phone call when you got the phone call Wednesday afternoon. Have an opportunity to be a part of Kelly's life, her sister-in-law's life, her kids' life, your two sisters. Why am I sharing this? We have opportunities in our life to make a difference, okay? Kelly got a phone call that she didn't want to get on Wednesday. What do you do? Kelly, well, I'm just going to talk for just a minute. But what's your response when you get a phone call that somebody just experienced an absolutely horrific event in their life? You say, Kelly, I'll be ready in 5 minutes. Just come by here. All I did is one phone call to Steve. I said, you got basketball practice today. And guess what? If I didn't make it back for church that night, a family and a friend and Kelly and anybody else that we minister is far more important than a Wednesday night church service. Amen. So what do we do? As a pastor, I get those phone calls probably more than you do because that's my job. But you all get those phone calls when you have somebody that has a need. And what you're going to do if you're going to make a difference, your answer is yes. I would love to. What can I do to help? When you get to know, meet people, I haven't met several part of your family members, my answer is I will do whatever you need me to do. That's a word of comfort when you're facing a tragedy, amen? So this is my life because that's what I do. I share my stories, but we all have our stories. We all have opportunities to live a fruitful and a productive life. We all have the opportunity to make a difference. Let's make that commitment this morning that we are going to be those people. That's why we're here. You know, the whole world, we're all hurting. If you didn't know it, we're all hurting, amen? We all need love, we all need support, we all need encouragement, we all need prayer, and let's just be the body, the hands and feet to one another. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's close in prayer.